What is going down, everyone? It's time for MojoBreak.com, the hype episode number 160. We got a lot to talk about today. We got a new basketball product for the 2021 season.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah, right? So we're going to talk about 1920 versus 2021 in terms of the players, because we've got some different things going on. These guys didn't play, so we're going to analyze that. We're going to talk in case basketball. We're also going to talk about the industry summit, which is currently finishing up, which it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday virtually. There was some news coming out from Panini. Nothing crazy, but there's some things to discuss. They did their industry summit awards. We'll go over some of those categories as well. So we got another fun show going on. The Raiders playing this week Monday night, or is it Monday? No, Sunday night. Tom Brady versus the Raiders. How do you feel about that game?
Oh, that's listen. Now that Tom's out of New England.
Man, you actually did that. Then you did the look and listen. Let me open up my ears and my eyeballs.
Let me break it down for you. I'm going to pull the curtain from the NFL right now. Now that Tom Brady is no longer in New England, I you know, he's a Bay Area kid. I support him. I love him. Tampa Bay, I hope they do well. But this Sunday night, easy win. Just another victory that we're going to have on the road to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and Dan, you got Foles. That's going to be a tough one Monday night. The Bears, they're good. They're good.
I might be over football season. I think I've just moved on.
Go Niners.
Moved on. It's yeah, it is what it is.
One loss?
Two losses.
Who else did you guys lose?
The Bills.
Not as good as the Niners.
But we came back. We scored like 28 unanswered points against the Bills, took the lead, and then lost it on the last play of the
game. That's right.
You know, I mean, whatever. The NFC, they always play each other tough, so there's a little spittle right there.
Well, enough about the spittle gate. We're going to talk about in case basketball just came out today. It seemed like we had a long period of time between NBA releases, right? I mean, it seemed like it was, a month. Isn't that long in terms of real life?
That's why I always say hallelujah when a new product comes out. I'm like, bro, right? It's been a minute, man.
Let's go into the background of Encased before we talk about this year's Encased.
Okay.
And tell us a little bit more. Tell people like they haven't ever heard about this product. What is Encased basketball?
Well, you get one BGS graded slab hit per box. I believe they started this line in football first back in 2016, I want to say.
16, yep.
So you get one graded hit, and it has no subgrades. So, you know, Panini goes with the cheaper route trying to get these graded hits to you guys. And that's how it's always been, too, with football. And then you also get one other auto and two memorabilia per box.
Yep.
And that configuration has been pretty much the same since they introduced it in basketball, which was 17-18 for the first season.
What are your thoughts on having this could be asked to the guys in the chat as well. What are your thoughts about having cards that are pre-graded in your box? What do you think?
For me, I think it's a cool concept, and it's obviously very popular with collectors because they like, you know, for some people who are not, who don't send out a lot of cards for grading all the time, which, you know, this hobby is slowly, like, everybody's starting to understand, like, you probably should get your more high dollar cards graded. There's a lot of people that don't do it. So, like, being able to get a card out of the box that's graded, I think that's what's resonating with people because, like I said, there's still a lot of collectors that don't do that, but they like to have a, you know, it's kind of nice for them to have a product where they could just open it up and already have some, possibly get a nice graded card.
Yeah, and we're showing the first off the line version, which has a little bit different stuff with some guaranteed numbered cards. But the hobby version is the same exact format. You're getting one graded card, three hits in the pack with one additional base card. So you're doing a case break. It's 32 cards. We opened up two cases this morning. Dan, what was your thoughts on Encased?
First two cases, night and day. First case was Second case was solid. Second case was great.
Who'd you guys put out the second case?
Zion.
To Tim.
Zeke.
Yeah. But you were saying that they don't have the subgrades on it. We did pull a 10, and a 10 had subgrades.
Oh, interesting.
But the first case, not one gold label.
Everything
was 9, or there was even an 8.
That's the dreaded case.
There was an 8 thrown in the mix. The thing I do love about it is that Panini gets it. They understand what people want in a slab, and they want BGS.
Oh, here we go.
And that's what I appreciate. And they just go the extra mile for the collector. So props to Panini.
That it has nothing to do with the fact that both companies are in Texas.
I don't know why you're like screaming. I'm being calm over here. You don't have to get aggro.
I'm just saying that they can walk it over there.
On that note, go watch our guys. Go check out our BGS versus PSA video on our Mojo Break Media channel. It's hilarious. You guys won't be disappointed. It was fun doing that the little skit video.
Yeah, it's almost up to 6,000 views now too. Yeah. So, but yeah, I think you know if PSA was in the state of Texas,
you can't take my thunder though.
If PSA was in the state of Texas, I think they would have been PSA slab. But Beckett is, you know, Beckett.
They're part of the family.
Panini, they're
part
together.
Of the family.
They're together.
Part of the family. I love it. And you hold on to it, and you look at it, and it feels like something. And you feel real proud. Real proud.
You don't feel proud with a PSA,
no.
I guess, is what
no,
you're trying
don't.
To say.
No, I don't.
You feel
I don't
real
personally.
Proud when you look at your bank account after you sell one of the PSA slabs. But.
Yeah, I'm not about the money. I'm not about the money. I'm about the look and the feel and the, just overall prestige.
And here's some other images here that you could see. The John Morant patch auto, making the grade auto, and the slabbed Steph Curry. I did pull one slabbed earlier today. It wasn't a Steph Curry, but I was like, I hope those are all slabbed.
Are those slabbed?
Well, the one I pulled was, of course. But, yeah, I would assume they would have to be slabbed if it says slabbed as a subset. I thought that was
– worried, bro.
Yeah, I was like, the slab subset, is they better be all graded. So
don't worry. They put a product design in here that it may be the worst in a long time.
But the slabbed obviously is like how long was that board meeting there? They're like, we need another subset. We need another name. What are the cards put in? Slab. Slab. Meeting adjourned. It was going to be an 8-hour meeting, but it was 10 seconds, and then it went on the card. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of stating the obvious. The card design looks cool. Slabbed, I don't know if I'm a big fan. But this one, the next. So this is a card that isn't graded, but it looks like it's graded. So you've got, and when I saw the preview of it, it was called Label Materials. So I thought it was going to be Prime Patches, like a label, like a material, maybe some sponsorship patches. But no, it's just the Relic. And you're getting about six of these a case, different players, of course.
Well, I'm sure there's Prime versions of these.
There
guys.
Is.
They're
primes.
Gold.
Those ones are
gold. Gold foil. Like a 9.5 or a 10.
Okay, that's kind of ass backwards, but okay.
Imagine what this card would look like slabbed.
Well, without further ado, there you go. That's what it would look like slab. And that's my biggest problem with it. Is why put a grade on a card and then it has the potential of getting a different grade. So I felt like that was lazy. I know we're not buying this product for that design. We're buying it for the encased rookie patch autos and all that other stuff. But I don't know what happened. Maybe the Pandy, took over the basketball department and there was only a few guys to make decisions and they rolled with this one and they rolled with the slabbed, but I'm not a big fan of that. I do love the BGS patch autos, which is what you're going for.
I mean, to defend it a little bit, you're probably not going to grade those cards.
I like how Doug did a clone job.
No, that was the other.
I flew to Beckett
you
over
like,
today.
But
I came back,
like
I just
that,
got back
you
in.
You like that industry jargon right there? I got that from the industry summit right there. That was a clone. Way to go, Doug.
Cloned it.
Cloned it.
Yeah, it's fancy for Photoshop.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to hear what you guys think about encased basketball. You see some of the Lukas over the years go for big bucks. Last year, obviously, with Luka, and the year before with Tatum and Mitchell. So it is one of those products. I wouldn't say it's the most sought after, but it gets up there. Where would you rank encased basketball amongst rookie card collectors?
If it's a... For me, it still hasn't cracked the top 10. We've talked about this before over the years, and this goes with football and basketball for encased. It's not a product that's gonna blow your socks off. But like I said, the appeal is being able to get a graded top rookie in a you want to get the 9.5s without having to send something in. So that's the main appeal of it, and in that sense I get it why people like this product, but for me from a design standpoint, it's probably a top 15.
It's kind of like a NT in a sense as far as the white background, right? One of the elements that I think we failed to mention, and you don't see them too often, but we did pull one in case one, is the inscription. So we pulled a...
That's what I was just going
to
say.
Yeah, we pulled a number to 5 Terrence Davis, and it had hashtag We the North, which I thought was... That's, you know, if you're a Raptor fan, I mean, that's pretty awesome,
yeah,
right?
The inscription is
one of your favorite players.
The inscription is what sets it apart as well. But, you know, NT has that subset too, which is notable nicknames, which sometimes they don't always...
Write something. Or personalize, right?
So in a case, especially football in case... I think they direct these kids like, here, this is the inscription card, like write whatever you want, like go Tar Heels or whatever. So like they really make it an emphasis because they have them. I'm pretty sure they have these. They usually will have these NFL rookie signees at the NFL rookie premiere. But so that's another set that I forgot to just mention that is interesting in case besides just the graded hits.
Do you view this as more of a football release? Like a football skew or a basketball skew?
I'm leaning football.
Football?
Skew. Yeah. Because it started with football.
Yeah. I guess I can kind of I kind of look at
would
it
you,
that way
would
as well.
Would you put it up there with like impeccable? Or you think this is like it's a like
I'm
low impeccable?
I feel like it's up there. It could be up there with impeccable. But I'm so biased because I love impeccable. So I'm just always going to put impeccable above encased.
Where do you name another product that you would throw in the same realm as encased?
Football or basketball?
Basketball.
Basketball? Oh, okay. In that case, if you're talking about basketball, then yeah, because again, I actually love impeccable more for football than basketball as well, even though I love basketball impeccable as well. I feel like impeccable basketball and encased is probably like up there with each other in terms of.
I mean, I feel impeccable products. Is one of those releases that I like it, but
it's not for everybody.
People move on from it really fast.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't have a long shelf life. Mm-hmm. The RPAs don't go for as much as other sets.
And again, like it's like a very specific thing people are chasing, which is those metal cards
and the season three seasons or whatever.
Yeah.
I think one thing. I kind of lost my train of thought there with this, but
that's good radio.
Totally good radio. It'll come back around, but yeah, I mean, encased is what I was going to mention compared to impeccable. That's what it was. Is that impeccable as a case break only has what 15 hits?
Yeah, it's very little hits.
So this has 32. So when you're participating in group breaks, there's a little. I mean, even though a lot of people are going to get those single color relics for showing, but at least there's more cards to go around. So I think from putting my group break hat on. I tend to like encased over impeccable for that reason. But
impeccable, you are going to get that case hit as well.
Yeah.
You're going to get that metal card that we've seen what those do on the secondary market, especially if it's a marquee rookie or like a big vet or something like that.
Yep.
I mean, LeBron, those metal LeBron cards go insane. Curry ones go insane. And then obviously the rookie ones
do
well.
The top rookie ones. Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think of a product that it's like, what can we basically compare encased to as far – and it's hard to do because there's so many releases, and especially this year, it seems like there's even more releases than previous years. Yes.
Well, you've got like an absolute, right?
Encased always feels like a mid-tier product to me.
But encased is – the price point compared to absolute is a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
That's why I said impeccable. Even though impeccable is just –
Noir?
I think Noir.
Noir has more hits.
Noir is, I feel like, it's higher end than encased.
Yeah, it's kind of in a category by itself, right? I mean, Obsidian?
It's in terms of products, it's the closest to impeccable. And what I was trying to say was that I always felt like impeccable, if they just added one more box, it'd be like the perfect product.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I don't
like know. Like from a group breaking perspective and from like a consumer perspective, you're buying like a case break of it.
Yep.
That's a good point. You, Kelp has a good point in the chat. If you put encased and impeccable together, you're pretty much getting NT.
Yeah.
Without the true RPA chase, which is basically the card that everybody's going to be looking for when it comes to rookies.
I'll say this. When I first laid my eyes on impeccable football back in 2015, it was like I met my soulmate. Bro, the design of impeccable, especially like the artistic, you know, like the canvas look of it. It's like a, you know, like people love Court Kings. It's like a way higher, obviously it's a higher end Court Kings, but for football, impeccable, when I first saw it, bro, it's like, I don't know, man. I've always loved that product, man. It's different for me between Impeccable and NT. I could see you making the case of Encase being closer to NT. But there's nothing really in NT that's like Impeccable, bro. Like, if you really look at it.
Yeah, there's
But there's nothing in Encase that really stands out except the fact that you're getting a slab.
Graded cards.
Graded cards.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's a white background. You don't have, like, any crazy, like, Logo Mans. Let's not give him any ideas. We don't need to have Logo Mans in Encased. It's fine. We can live with
laundry that. Laundry tag Logo Mans. You can do that.
You can do laundry tags. I mean, you don't have, like, the sponsorship, like, patches and stuff like that. It's really, like, card basic, design basic when you look at the rookie patch autos that are in Encased. It's a white card. Sometimes you might have some, you know, couple breaks in a patch, couple different colors, but generally it's a single color relic with an on card auto, sometimes with a little inscription. What I did notice in this release, it seems like the players did a lot of inscribing their number almost on every auto.
That's pretty cool.
Which is different. I don't know if that was something that was maybe spoken to the players during the photo shoot, like, hey, when you're signing these, maybe just put your number or something like that.
Yeah.
Because I did notice that a lot more than previous years.
They do that. I know they do that for 100% effect with Encased football, sorry. But so it makes sense to me that they're going to start trying
to push. Well, I'm assuming these probably couldn't have been signed at the premiere. These had to have been signed probably during COVID, I'm assuming, right? I mean, I don't think they have already.
Hard to say, though, because you got to figure, like, they got to get them graded, and they got to get them slabbed.
They signed these last year.
How long could that possibly, like, take? I mean,
yeah.
BGS,
yeah, but they,
BGS
but,
is
but
like,
the
I
photos
don't care how
are,
close you are.
The photos are from the rookie photo shoot. There's no way they would have them during that three-day period. So it would have to be during the season, but not at the rookie premiere, right?
Yeah, I mean, to make this product.
They got to wait a year for grading.
Yeah, this probably takes the longest. Out of
this is why
any
got,
of their releases.
It got pushed back like
yeah,
this product got pushed back like six, seven times.
Because they have to wait for the BGS is backlogged, and how many cards does Panini submit for Encased?
Yeah.
And that's a good point too, I think, what Kelt brought up about the relics. I think we've all kind of grown especially in this parallel era. These single color relics to 99, I think, are losing more and more appeal to collectors as the years go by. I mean, for the right players, you know, LeBron is still going to sell, but like like Klay Thompson or something, you know, I mean, like, it's not. I know they have to use them because they're getting the same Logo Mans from those jerseys, so they have to be used. But is there anything else we could do with these things?
Like, dude, like I'm not even gonna say that. Like, people are losing more and more interest in single color relics. Since I've been back in this hobby, which was like 2013, I don't know anybody that's cared really much about a single color relic. You know, so it's for me, it's even with more and more new people coming in, they learn very quickly. Like, a single color relic, that's for, like, you know, like, that's maybe like give that to your little brother, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that's not really a PC type of card. So.
I mean, it's literally a base card at this point. I mean, as far as what it's viewed.
Like, this is a fine line. Yeah. I mean, it's part of.
I think they need to be.
It's part of the guarantee of the box of the pack of the case. Like, you need. We can't do away with these because it's going to be less content.
Yeah.
You can't. Just if you don't like them, then get rid of them. Send them to ComC.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
Somebody out there will want it. Like, just because it's not a,
like, for a kid, that's a big hit.
Yeah,
dude.
Because it's not a $10,000 card doesn't mean it doesn't mean something to somebody.
Right, exactly. And then it's like you were talking about the jersey part. It's like, you need the Logo Man, but there's only like so many patches you can get off of a jersey.
My issue is that you keep on saying that, and they're like, okay, cool. Like, we'll just make a jersey with 300 Logo Mans on it.
Well, but here's the thing. Well,
then I'm gonna put it on, and then there's gonna be 300 Logo Mans.
It's hey, man.
But Kelp is the bringer of knowledge at this point, and I think most collectors would agree with this statement. And I know it's weird that we're talking about it this way, but he says he'd rather have a six swatch from a player worn than a single color game worn.
Yeah.
So if you could literally make patch cards and throw everything else away at that point, right? Would that be okay? Is that okay with you? As a collector, comment below. Comment in the chat if you're watching live. Would you throw away all these single color game worns to have player worn, which means they just put on the jersey, and in most cases, I don't think they even put them on anymore, just so you would have a prime patch. But I think then that that sense you would devalue the prime patches. You can't have number to 99 prime patches.
I don't understand, and it's been like this for a long time. There isn't a monetary distinction between event worn and game used.
There isn't.
And I think it actually might have to do with the fact that, like, who knows? Like, there is, like, only one subset without reading the back of the card. It's certified gamers, and I think it's out of Panini Certified Football, where you know, because it's called certified gamers, it is game used. It's not game dated or anything like that, but you know it's game used, and a lot of times it's a single color relic. I think that's cool. But I don't know if the general collector is going to know the difference between that or an event used, because they literally, if it's the same team, it's the same exact relic.
Yep, right.
I prefer the single color relics that are game used, and I wish they.
So do
I. You know how expensive it is to acquire those game used jerseys.
Yep.
And the general hobbyist does not put any extra value on those.
Yeah. If I were to have single color relics in my collection, which I do have some, I would prefer to be game used, just knowing that the player wore this in a game, right? And also, the other thing I was going to say about a recent release that I absolutely love, Opulence, right, which is normally, like, not everybody's favorite product. There's reasons why people love it, reasons why people hate it. Everything in Opulence was game used.
Mm, okay.
Even the single color relics. Everything. Mm-hmm. I was looking on the back of all of them every time.
Even
every
the rookies?
Hit. Not the rookies.
Okay.
Not rookies. But everything, like, Vet, USA, all the USA stuff was game used. Every single vet relic was game used.
And that's I think that is super cool.
That is super cool. Yeah.
But they don't sell for anymore.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, Tops is on the right path with the finding out what game it's worn in, because when you could put game worn, but it could be like, you know, Steph Curry sat out that game. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't actually play, but he was in the jersey and in a sense that's the same as event worn, right? So, but let's move on into another new basketball product that came out. So we are in the midst of what we call the crossover period, where we have 1920 stuff still coming out, because we still have Immaculate, we still have Flawless, we still have, I'm sure there's a few other, we have like a Hoops Premium product.
There's
Clearly Donruss. So we still have some 1920 releases, today, the newest 2021 release, the first release of the year.
Let's go.
Contenders Draft Picks comes out. It came out today. You're looking at 6 autos in a hobby box. They're in their collegiate uniform, obviously, because we don't have a draft until mid-November. And you look at these new guys. And coming out the gate, we got Wiseman. We've got Edwards, LaMelo, a few other names being tossed around. As you can see here, it's the same kind of design that you see in the football contenders. They keep it kind of consistent, which it's nice.
Within the same year, yeah.
Yeah, and some of these guys are on card as well. You've got the campus ID. You've got the cracked ice. It's a lot of value. It's probably going to be one of your cheaper products of the year that's going to give you 6 autos.
Absolutely going to be one of the cheaper products.
One of the cheaper values. But granted, you're going to get 200 guys, and maybe 50 or 60 of those guys don't get drafted. Yeah. You know, so there's going to be some names in that product. It's not as condensed down as, like, say, a Hoops or a these other products that are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in weird times, because this is I want to call this the first COVID released, in a sense that this is the first time we're getting a product released where these guys didn't play. And these guys are going to be drafted. We did not have a Final Four. We did not have a Sweet 16. There was no college basketball last year.
There wasn't even a draft. There's not even a draft yet.
Right. So the hype going into this is non-existent compared to the prior years, right? I mean, Zion. We were talking about Zion years before Zion came out, right? The year we were talking about Lonzo years before he came out. So there was always this hype. We were talking about Ja, because Ja performed in the tournament. Murray State, he was out there playing well. So there's a lot of, like, kind of where do we go? So I wanted to kind of break down 1920 versus 2021 and give some collectors some expectations, because I think that you're not going to have the Vegas Summer League, right? So you're not even going to get any hype on that. And then you're going to have some exhibition games, obviously, and you're probably going to have some practices that are filmed. But I think you're going to have to expect these guys to really not even come into form till mid-season. So how does that affect NBA products? And I'll start with C-Rad.
Yeah, it's going to be a complete crapshoot this year, I feel like, with not a lot of data out on these guys, right? You can watch some tapes of them and watch highlights on YouTube and hear analysts talk about who they think is going to be the best player in this draft and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, like, nobody really is going to know, like you said, until probably like mid-season, like who any of these guys really are or how good they are, how good they're going to be in the future. So it's going to be interesting to see this year with the pro. And even with that said, the products aren't going to go down in price significantly because, like, people want to find that next guy regardless. So, like I said, people are going to be watching all this stuff and trying to figure out who that next guy is going to be. You know, we kind of have an idea of some of these kids and how good they're going to be based on pre-college or maybe, like, a couple of games of college.
I mean, they did have the games. They just did not have the tournament, right?
Right. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun year. Now, when I say that prices aren't going to be that much lower, they are going to be – I feel like they are going to be they're obviously lower than the Zion year.
Well, what you're going to see in, like, the first 10 releases – I'm going to say 10 releases because it will carry over.
Yeah.
You're going to see a lot of speculation, and it's going to be on the heels of the 18-19 products. It's going to be on the heels of the 19-20 products. You're going to have a lot of people who are speculating that if it's basketball – you got a lot of new people still in the hobby. So they look at it and go, it's basketball. It goes up every year. I'm going to buy it and hold on to it. If you look at it, this product, there's really no reason. There's no reason on the court why it should be double the MSRP.
Right.
But it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think I want to say Blowout is selling it for $250 a box or something.
I think it's
like
$350.
Yeah. Okay, $350. It's even more. That is solely based on the 18-19 and the 19-20 products.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be dealing with that until these players are actually playing and we're seeing what they're doing in the NBA.
Well, $279 for major online retailers, down from $329 on sale. But the point I was trying to make is it's not like it's a 13-14 season, which arguably had a bad draft class, right? We came in from the double rookie class into the 13-14 season looking for that guy. Giannis wasn't anything at the time, so you count him out at the early point of the release. You had Michael Carter Williams, Oladipo, and that was about it. People weren't Anthony Bennett. People weren't excited, but you're talking about 10 to 20 to 30 times more people involved in the hobby now compared to then. So I think you're right in terms of there's going to be some speculation. There's going to be guys paying big money for guys based on hype or based off an exhibition where they dunk like crazy.
Based on where they got drafted.
So I'd just be very wary of getting too invested in some of these guys. I don't know if Panini's going to pivot into having more vet stuff, having maybe more Zion autos and stuff just to kind of make sure there is some chase.
I can't
just
see
in case.
Unless he's already signed, I can't see that happening.
Yeah.
But when we talked about it two episodes ago, I think they have a lot of leftover stuff from.
Well, they don't. They have some leftover stuff. I wouldn't say it's a lot. They're gonna have
not a
I
lot
mean,
this year.
They'll have
because
I mean,
they're pushing 1920.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well if you're gonna use if you're gonna use what's left over, put it on something that is going to be considered a rookie card
year,
and not,
I feel you.
And not the second year. Like add value that way. But I don't think they're going to be able to go and get more Zion autos at a price point where it would make sense for them.
No, I mean,
especially when they this is when they get a good value for these rookies. Like they really are going to have to push these rookies. I actually sat there. I mean, think about it. Think about if there was no Luka, right? Luka didn't blow up. Think about if there was no Zion last year. This would be a struggle to sell this product at $135.
Absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. Because this product was around before. And I mean, it was a product that honestly us as Mojo Break would maybe get a case of and not want to go back to the well and get any more of it.
I'm actually gonna say that even if even disregard the 18-19, we couldn't sell 18-19 contenders draft. Yeah. It wasn't until Zion's rookie year, you know.
Yeah, we did a lot of contenders draft 17-18.
We did,
and it was cut. It was cut.
Yeah, because, but that was because Lonzo.
But we weren't necessarily making money on that.
But yeah, but I don't know. I mean, you got to think if you didn't have that stretch of just solid years and, you know, great rookies coming out and a lot of hype going into the season, there's no reason for this product to be as high as it is right now.
Yeah.
What are we basing it off of? The only thing we can be basing it off of is previous years.
Yep. Well, and there could be some value in speculation on these single autos, because I don't think a lot of these guys are at this point with a month to the draft. A lot of these guys may or may not have any eyeballs on them besides the names that we have shown here. But if you look at the latest mock, and obviously these things can change, you've got Anthony Edwards going to Minnesota with the first overall pick. You know, that situation, I don't know. I mean, Minnesota, they got Towns, they got D'Lo now. I mean, is this a situation where Edwards can perform as the number one pick? The interesting one is if the Warriors do keep the second pick and then they go Wiseman, because the Warriors don't have a center. You normally don't have a team like the Warriors drafting second overall. So that's a unique scenario where you could maybe keep an eye on him, because he can come in with Clay, with Curry, with Draymond, and possibly be right in there and performing, getting rebounds and blocking and playing great defense. That's an interesting one. And then you've got LaMelo going over to the Hornets. So is that a good place for LaMelo? The Hornets usually don't garner a lot of hobby attention, garner a lot of hobby love. Kemba Walker took years to sell, and now he's on a different team. You know, you got Devontae Graham. I mean, you go down the list. I mean, you got the Bulls getting Avdija. You've got Cavaliers getting Okoro. So, I mean, but there's some, like, which, I guess it's to look at which team and needs somebody that's going to come in and play right away and going to actually get attention, make the highlight reel, and possibly have some cards that, you know, people are going to want. So that's where we don't know, because there wasn't a lot of tape going on. So any names stand out for you right away from
I just know off the bat LaMelo is going to be the highest, is going to go for the most out the gate from this draft class.
You think so? Over Wiseman and Edwards?
Just on strength of name alone. Edwards will be a close second, I feel like, because he is going to absolutely go in the top three. But LaMelo, off the strength of his name and his flashy play style right out the gate, is going to be the best seller. But, you know, obviously we got to see when the play actually starts. I think if he goes to Hornets, that actually makes a lot of sense, because they need somebody like a, you know, like kind of like a playmaker like him out there in Charlotte. And he'd bring a lot of attention to that city, you know, if he can do half of what people think he's going to be able to do.
We were talking about the industry summit, which is going down currently. I think it's just about to end. It's virtual this year. So normally it was planned to be in Vegas at the Westgate. Obviously the pandemic didn't want us to, you know, be there. So we're doing everything virtual, and we've got some news that came out of it. Nothing crazy big. I don't think there was anything really big announcements. So I wanted to go over a few of the things that they went over. They had the voting for product of the year, all this other fun stuff that they did. They had it on Beckett.com, and people were voting for their favorite products. They announced the winners today. We're going to have our round of that too coming up very soon. We're going to do our award for the year. I just wanted to go over a few of these. So they had product of the year was Prism Basketball, which I guess is cool. Card of the year was, I mean, it's low hanging fruit.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like what product appreciated,
went up with the most,
appreciated
yeah.
the most.
Card of the year was the 18-19 NT basketball Luke Doncic, they put. So I don't know if that's his brother, but Luke Doncic.
You know, they're thinking about saying the RPA.
RPA. Luke? Autograph of the year was a NT baseball Babe Ruth Ty Cobb cut signature booklet. Memorabilia card of the year was an 18-19 NT NBA Finals nameplate, LeBron James to 5. Best baseball card product, surprisingly, was Topps Chrome. So I don't know how Panini let Topps get one in there, but because it's a Panini run event. But best basketball card product, 18-19 Prism. Best collegiate card product, 18-19 Immaculate Collection Basketball. Best football product, NT Football. Best hockey product, 1819 Upper Deck. I don't know if that was Series 1 or with Black or SP Authentic. But all of them, all the Upper Deck products are the best hockey card products. Best racing product was 19 Prism. Best soccer card product was 1819 National Treasures. I see a theme here. Best entertainment card product, Star Wars Masterworks. Best pop culture product, Allen and Ginter.
Ooh, I don't know.
This one had to kill them. And this is what I want to talk about. Best customer service, Tops. Did they had to just throw one in there? Because, I mean, like I said, paint
I
the picture.
A lot of Tops on those awards.
Tops has their own industry conference. Panini probably pays a lot of money to Beckett to be at this conference. So, granted, you have to have the voting done by the public.
Upper Deck has their own as well. They have their own conference, Diamond Dealer Conference. Tops has theirs. This is kind of like Beckett, Panini, Leaf.
Yeah.
Maybe Onyx. Trying to come up with some other manufacturers that might be there.
Yeah.
You think TriStar was in the mix?
They were there. Yeah, but they don't really create their own products, I guess, right? They do buybacks and memorabilia products.
They do mem.
Best single day promotion, Topps National Baseball Card Day, which probably killed. They're like, Panini's like, what the heck? We're backing out of Becca next year. Best ongoing promotion, 19 Topps Baseball Silver Packs, and non-traditional release, Topps Now.
How did Project 2020 not win it?
I don't know when this voting was done, but it seems like it's...
Not that Project 2020 was amazing, but... I mean, what do you have? I mean, Panini Instant, maybe? That could have been...
Dutch Auction.
How about the Panini Silver Packs that they release for... that's like a non-conventional product. I would take the...
The National Pack?
The Panini Sparkle Packs over the Topps Silver Packs. I know you got to pay extra for them. Topps Silver Packs are included.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just going back through the list.
I think when's it time for ours? I want to do Breaker of the Year. We did it last year, and I think it was...
Oh, we got to name our own Breaker of the Year.
We did it last year.
Yeah, we got to do that.
It was... Once a week break.
Yeah, once a week break's one.
Once a week break.
Last year. So they're in the running again for this year. So we'll have to do another a vote. So repack product of the year was David Adams Hit Parade. Like that one. Shout out to David Adams.
Way to go, Adam Dave.
Or Adam Dave. So, but one of the things that was announced also by Panini, and this is going to be an in-shop only thing, is Kids Crate. For 2021. So you got to be under the age of 14 to be able to buy it. I would think. I don't know. I'm sure if you say you have a kid, they'll let you buy it. But it's only going to be available through card shops, brick and mortar, that are part of the Panini dealer network. So what it is it's basically a SKU that is going to contain hobby hybrid and retail SKUs across the entire Panini portfolio. Basketball, football, baseball, soccer, collegiate racing, and entertainment. Panini branded marketing items. Panini's aim is to provide quality products and items for kids to enjoy and collect at an introductory price. These crates will be available through brick and mortar, blah, blah, blah. So inside the crate, they're going to have blaster boxes, mega boxes, hanger boxes, kid crate-esque SKUs, Panini swag, marketing items, guaranteed memorabilia cards, autographs, exclusive parallels, and inserts. And I guess every crate's going to be different, so there might be some chase boxes. Supposedly they're going to make blasters exclusive to it. They gave us the wholesale price, which I should not say what it is, but if I had to guess, the retail price is going to be about $100. So
how much? $1 million a box?
Who are you trying to imitate there?
Instagram users.
Man, I was like, bring that guy back. Bring that character into the mix.
What are your thoughts? Is this a good idea to bring the kids into the brick and mortar shops? Is that price? I mean, when I saw like $100 price, I thought that was a little. I think we needed to be like the $40, $50 price.
When I was 11 years old, I didn't have $100.
No, neither did I.
It's a lot of money, and look, well, if it doesn't move, it'll be available to whoever wants it, right? I mean, face it, if it'll get moved to distributors, if it doesn't move, and then distributors will move it to breakers.
I don't think you can break that stuff, but
no, I mean, but it'll get moved. you could break the product. You can break the wax. You can break the blasters and stuff like that.
Well, I think for retail, $100, they're gonna sell it out.
No, dude, I think $100 is I get what they're trying to do, and I'm.
Well, I mean,
we've been talking about it forever. Like, get the kids involved. Get the kids involved.
One basketball blaster.
I don't think there's any. There's guaranteed autos and stuff like that, and maybe that's what they wanted to. They didn't want to like give the kids a bunch of base cards. Maybe they wanted to give them a little taste of the relics and the autos and stuff like that. Make sure they're getting them in those crates.
I think the
crates maybe that's why
blaster boxes.
They do. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying. Like, if it doesn't take off and it doesn't move, it will get moved to distributors, and distributors will sell it to people who can sell it, who can move it. And they'll just open it up and basically sell the blasters and whatnot. But if the retail SKUs are doing what they're doing this year, at $100, they're gonna sell out.
No brainer.
But they're not gonna be selling out to kids. It's gonna be people who are like, can I get 14 of them? I have 14 kids, all under the age of 14.
Well, I mean, but who's
right?
They're supposed to be for kids 14 and under, but yeah, how does a shop police that? I mean, what all you got to say is you come in and be like, "Yeah, my kid's at home and it's a birthday gift for him."
Are you going to turn down
a sale?
A sale because they don't have little Johnny with them?
Well, or you do the oldest trick in the book and you pay little Johnny to come in the store and buy it.
And is it one per kid?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so you could bring little Johnny in. You bring like
so
you bring
little
like
Johnny
your,
could buy 10 of them?
Yeah, you bring like your nephew in, and you're like, I'm gonna buy my nephew a birthday present, and he wants 30 kid crates.
Yeah, but that's you guys are assuming that this is gonna be exceed the amount it's selling at. I don't think that's gonna be the case. I don't think this is gonna exceed.
You don't think it's gonna be over $100?
No, I don't. You can't walk into a card shop and buy this and then resell it for more. Is what I'm saying.
It's not like the retail stuff. It depends on how the blasters are doing, though. You can open it up and
it
sell the blaster.
Mega too. Those are $200
a box. Yeah, you open it up and then you just sell the stuff individually.
Yeah, for basketball, right?
There might be a line around the corner for these shops
to get these. No. Not just basketball. Mega box football will go for like $150 too.
That's true.
But you get a mix of
all the sports.
So like you're not going to get just a basketball crate.
No, you're not.
You're probably. I mean, they're going to mix in if. A little, but still, like you get one of those mega boxes, and it paid for it.
Exactly.
So yeah,
only card shops, Busta. So they're only introducing them to card shops at first. So any brick and mortar will carry them.
You know what Panini should have just. Well, they can't do it. That was like Panini should just sell them direct, but they can't sell them direct to kids.
Bots, dude, flippers. I'm telling you, I didn't even know about this. Flippers right now, they're going. Give me them kids craze, buddy. I'm going to flip this for $1 million, man.
Bring that character back, too. That's a good one. It's
That's a good one. C-Rad 2.5 on that one. You got the different levels. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, you could create demand. And, I mean, I know, like, with my daughter, she sees something on YouTube, and she wants me to buy it. And then I don't know what the price was originally. I mean, maybe I go on Amazon, and I'm paying
double. I bought a lot of merchandise off of YouTube because of what my daughter wants.
Exactly. So if this takes off and, like, you know, maybe there would be a way. I mean, that would be sad that we create a market and they're going for $200 a box or whatever. I mean, we know what the wholesale cost is. I think each brick and mortar can decide what they're going to sell it at. So if they are going for $150, I'm sure the brick and mortar is going to sell them for $150. But, I mean, the idea is there to get kids in the hobby. And I do got to give kudos to Panini for trying
different
things.
Yeah, you got to give them props for at least trying, because that's the outcry that they see on Instagram every day.
Yep.
How much? $1 million?
well, or this hobby's just getting too expensive for the kids. The kids can't buy flawless. Kids can't
buy
natural treasures.
$100 is a lot of money for a kid.
Not for the modern day kid.
Yeah, that's true. I gave my
but it's also 14 and under kids. Like you can't be like a 15-year-old kid who may has like a weekend
job. Yeah.
Yeah, this is like you can't get a job when you're 14.
Like, yeah, because part-time jobs are like starting at least 15 now, right?
Yeah. So like. It's 14. I mean, I don't know. Like, is a kid going to be like, I want this kid's crate instead of like a new video game?
Well, you
if
do.
If they're into cards, yes.
I wonder if this had any. You look at the situation we talked about on the earlier podcast with Mark Wahlberg. So I wonder if this was like card boys. this would finally like pushed them in. That, or they just don't have any other way to sell product anymore because they sell everything out. So I don't know, but I feel like the Card Boys had something to do with this. So that's the demographic they want. They want, you know, obviously
they want the next generation.
They want the next generation of kids showing off their hits and all that stuff and building for the future. And but like I said, it's a good idea. We'll see if it works. We'll see how well it does in the hobby shop.
I hope that majority of kids and like early teens that actually get this product and not a whole bunch of flippers.
Yeah, I mean, and just think about it. If you're like a guy that has a 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old son and you're watching breaks and you're trying to explain to him how the process works, but you can't buy him a National Treasures box. You can't buy him a Flawless box. Heck, you can't even buy a Spectra box.
Yeah.
This is like, hey, this is what I was watching on YouTube. Let's do our own. Like, yep. You know, you could even like film it on your own phone and, you know, you don't have to throw it on YouTube, but you have a memory with your kid, right?
I like the idea of it also being mixed products.
Yeah.
Like that, like a little bit of everything, little
it
baseball,
gets them
football,
interested in,
like,
if, like,
basketball.
They never were interested in NASCAR before, it might be like, yeah, like oh, who's
I like,
this guy?
I like that. I like that concept of it. but I'm in the same boat with C-Rad. Like, where there's a will, there's a way.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is money to be made, flippers will figure it out.
It ain't for the kids anymore at that point. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
exactly.
I mean, I hopefully don't want to see – what I really don't want to see and what Panini probably doesn't want to see is all these on eBay and Twitter and Instagram with flippers selling them for $350 a pop.
Right.
Because at that point, it ain't for the kids. It never was for the kids. And unfortunately, if they start going up and they are and the contents in it do equal about $350, it ain't the kids aren't even going to have a chance to get it.
Exactly.
Exactly.
But, yeah, very cool. And then we've got a release on Friday. We have XR Football. Football, they're coming every week now. We got a new release every week. So we just had Spectra.
That is a nice thing about not having basketball every week because I miss basketball. You know what I'm saying?
I know. But football, we're right in the swing of it, you know, and we're right in the swing of releases. And XR is a fairly new product to the game. I think it came out in 16 or 17 was its first release. And it's a 15-box case, so you get a lot of hits when in terms of group breaks. It's 3 hits per box. It has a lot of different memorabilia pieces. You got the chance at the shield. You got the chance at the big patch autos. And, of course, this rookie class is on fire. Every week it seems like another rookie's performing. Chase Claypool. Mm-hmm. You know, Chase Claypool now, and people are, like, asking about him. Joe Burrow. Tua's going to play this weekend,
it's
right?
Tua time.
No, 2 weeks.
No, well, against the Rams. Yeah. They have a bye this week.
Oh, okay. So they're getting him ready for in 2 weeks.
Tua time.
I think that's a rough game for him to start in because the Rams.
Did you watch any of the game on Sunday night? The Rams defense, like, did not. They didn't sack Garoppolo one time. So, like, I actually, for Tua, I think it's basically the best game for him to play.
Football is a week-to-week sport. You guys, I feel like the Rams will get it together, bro. You guys,
I have
a winning record at the end of the day.
I appreciate the faith.
Like, think about it. Like, we have the same record, right? 3-2. Even the Niners, to an extent, like, you guys were atrocious against the Dolphins. Like, atrocious. And granted, there was a lot of injuries, so I kind of expected them to get blown out by Miami. And Miami's actually a legit underrated team. But then you look like fucking gods against the Rams. You know what I mean?
Well,
so it's a week-to-week sport.
I figured it out. They're just – the Dolphins are running their organization like every fan in the league. They're like, wait, we beat the Niners, and the Niners beat the Rams. So in a sense, we already beat the Rams.
You know
– So we're going to start Tua because we already beat them.
I know
– NFL math don't work.
I know Fitzpatrick is – he's a vet. He's been around for a while.
But he played really well this year to give up on him.
He has played really, really well.
Yeah, he looks good.
And they've won 2 games in a row, and they won 2 games in a row convincing. They beat the Niners bad, and then whoever they played this week, they beat them pretty bad because Tua was in.
Yeah, listen, man.
Well, I heard rumors that the Cowboys possibly getting Fitzpatrick.
They would love to get Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I want
to
ask a question, and I want to take all politics or anything out of this, just the football playing ability. If you were Dallas,
yes,
would you rather have Fitzpatrick or Colin Kaepernick?
Cap.
Okay. Well, first off, Dallas has their franchise quarterback sitting there on the sideline right now in uni. And he will be starting.
He has uni in his name.
Mannion?
No. I mean, Dallas can't handle Mannion. He'd take over the whole city. He can't. But Dinucci, he's out there. Dude, he has to be the guy. Like, you cannot start Andy Dalton next week, right?
I mean, he only had one game. He's had a pretty decent career, a mediocre career.
The Cardinals just laid the smackdown on the Cowboys. I mean, it wasn't even close.
I mean, Zeke couldn't hold on to the ball.
It was like, it was what, 21-3, like, that's in the true. First quarter?
Turnovers are crucial, bro. Look, they what killed him.
I get it. Like, you can't win the game when you turn the ball over. It's pretty obvious. But is Andy Dalton going to be – I mean, the Cowboys are in first place.
Yeah.
The Cowboys are going to make – they are
2-4?
They're going to make the playoffs.
At 6-10.
They're going
to
make –
if you talk to Zeke, he'll say the Eagles are going to make the
playoffs. They're going
to
make the playoffs.
Zeke?
They're going to make the playoffs if they get rid of Andy Dalton and they start anybody else.
Yeah, Kelp's got a good point. Give Dalton a 1 p.m. start. Dalton does suck in prime time. He hasn't won a playoff game. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, first game back on the lights in Dallas, I mean, that was atrocious. I mean, you could see Jerry Jones just shaking his head the whole game. I mean, he's about ready to fire
the whole
team.
It was tough to watch, man. It was tough to watch. I watched the majority of that game.
Yeah, so. Well, we got to get ready for the 4:45 break coming up here in about 10 minutes, which I believe is Spectra. So stay tuned. Thank you guys for tuning into The Hype. We've got XR later this week. Make sure you subscribe to us here at Mojo Break on YouTube, as well as Mojo Break Media, where all of our podcasts. Cody just did an amazing World Series preview podcast show. So go ahead and check that out on our YouTube channel as well. Follow us at Twitter at MojoBreak_com, Instagram as well. And we're posting those big hits. We just hit like probably one of the best cards of the 2019 NFL products, like the best card. I'm not going to let you know what it is, but you got to see it for yourself. Go on our Instagram and watch that video, and we'll talk about it next week. But it was probably the biggest pull out of any 2019 product we pulled on Monday. So, all right, guys, we will see you guys next week on The Hype 161. Peace.